This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Sports royalty is on the air. This is the only show with so much talent and expert analysis, it can barely be contained. Jump on now or it'll pass you by. This is Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution.
And it has begun. Welcome, Place to Be Nation. You are truly the privileged ones. Because tonight, we debut truly your home for everything sports. Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution. And it all begins with playing old TBS in the background. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo. And this is a moment in time because two of the greatest sports podcasts ever created have now merged into one true sports powerhouse. Let me bring in the panel. Most of the panel. We'll have a little bit. I'll add another one later, of course. You know me, of course. My man on the other side here. By the way, we renovated the studios. We blew the wall out between the Extra Point studio and the Sports Lounge studio. So now it's one big, gigantic room of scotch, cigars, and mostly Tatupu bobbleheads. So let me bring in my man. And he's been on plenty of shows with me, both wrestling and sports. The Cowboy, Roger Morissette. Cowboy
Jr. What's going on, Scott?
I have to actually clarify that. Cowboy Jr.
I'm just a cowboy.
You are just the cowboy.
No suffix required.
No suffix.
looking forward to doing a show with you where I know what I'm talking about. this is a whole new deal for me.
You don't have to talk about your experiences watching the 1993 Royal Rumble, so that's all right. this is a true honor. I've been on, I believe, once with him. Usually when I was on, it was kicking the door in and heckling, but this is truly an honor to be able to talk every week, hopefully almost every week, with the conscience of the family, complete with his Tony Collins feety pajamas. You like that? I bet you didn't think I even knew who Tony Collins was. Cowboy Senior! Welcome to the party, man.
Hey. Happy to be here, Scott. A couple of good old references there from back in those days when I was a season ticket holder of the Patriots. You named two names that just brought back great memories. Mosi Tatupu. I was part of the Mosi's Mooses clan in those days.
That's right.
One of the best special team players you'll ever see. And if it was a real, real rainy day, don't play Sam Cunningham. Don't play Don Calhoun. Mostly rush for 150 yards in the bad weather all the time.
Right.
He was the best rain runner I ever saw. And Tony Collins was just a real good all-purpose back, quick to block, catch passes out of the backfield. And of course, and every running back looked good in those days running behind Hanna and Gray. I mean, the Cowboy could have probably ran for 120 yards behind those two guys. But anyways,
the Cowboy doesn't have the wheels. The he used to.
And that's after Boneheads. And also, of course, joining the quartet of greatness is, of course, my compadre from The Extra Point, the doctor, Dr. G. George Robolino, who will be joining us a little bit later. He had to be at his daughter's school tonight for, you know, the beginning of the year open house, but he'll be hopping in very quickly. All right, guys, every week we're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk like we do on our two shows. We're going to talk NFL football, which is, of course, our main focus this evening. Major League Baseball, pennant races abound. Sorry for your Red Sox. Although I did see their lineup firsthand. You guys did take 2 out of 3 from the Mets a couple weekends ago. I think the lineup is very good. I think your rotation stinks. But I think the lineup is very good. But we'll talk about the Red Sox in the offseason. And, of course, we'll get into hockey when the NHL season starts and, of course, NBA. We have all these great analysts now mushed together into one show, the Joel Barnharts, the Rob Carpenters, the Grant Hugheses, just all these guys. You cannot miss this podcast ever when you see it on placetobenation.com and on our iTunes feed. Ever. Because it's going to be chock full of greatness from top to bottom.
The Cowboy doesn't do hockey, just so you know.
But I'm a Bruins fan, senior, so come on. I am a Bruins fan. I cried after Tim Thomas threw that shutout in 2011. Cried. Come on.
You know, there was a time when I wouldn't miss a Bruins game, but as the years progressed, I kind of got away from hockey and because I had to.
I'll bring you back. I promise.
So much focus into basketball. I mean, living on the Friars, and I'm a real college basketball junkie, and I'm also a huge Celtics fan. But only so much time in a day, and hockey kind of got away from me. But there was a time in the old glory Bruin years, I was locked into every game. I could name you, my God, every line that the record-breaking Bruins team, without even a problem, without even batting an eye. I could name you all four lines, all the defensive pairings. Because I didn't used to miss a game, but I kind of got away from it, and now I'm a total basketball junkie. And it's almost time for hoop season.
Yes, it will be. And we'll definitely talk college hoops. I can't wait to have our man from the Friars on, and my brother as well.
John Rook.
Yes, the Rook. We're gonna have him. We're gonna have my brother on. So come wintertime, we're gonna be all full of college hoops, Friars, Hoyas, Huskies.
Awesome.
Oh, it's gonna be awesome, and of course the rest of the country as well. But tonight we are talking pigskin, and it is the 2015 NFL season upon us, this Thursday night, probably tonight, if you're listening to this show, and that is your guys defending world champions will take the field. Yes. Number 12 as well. And we are not talking about court cases, lawyers, judges with quarterbacks on fantasy teams. None of that. We are talking the games, what people really want to talk about, the games, not court drawings of crypt keeper quarterbacks or any of that nonsense. We're talking the games. Number 12 will take the field tomorrow night, or tonight, depending when you're listening, when the Patriots host the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Razor Blade to start the NFL season. We will do AFC first. We'll go through the divisions, and then we'll do the NFC. We're going to pick a few games every week. We're not going to pick all 15 of them or whatever. We'll pick the three highlight really good games of the week and chat about them. And then we'll give you our MVP picks, maybe our Rookie of the Year, and then who will play the 50th Super Bowl coming up in February at Levi's Stadium out in Santa Clara, where, of course, Cowboy, as you know, WrestleMania just happened. So, and that is now where the Super Bowl is. Before we begin, though, Senior, what do you think of, because you're old school like me, what do you think of, because it's the 50th year of the Super Bowl, the 5-0 on every field this year is going to be gold, the NFL logo in the end zones will be gold. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. What do you think? You're old school like me.
Yeah, definitely. It's something they should be commemorating, definitely. Mm. The big one, big 5-0. And being in San Francisco, I'd obviously like to see our guys there, our boy playing near home and win one there. But I'm probably the only one. In fact, I know I'm the only guy on the show that can say I've seen all 49 of them from start to finish. Mm. And I'll be watching my 50th, so yeah, it means a lot to me. Definitely.
That's awesome.
It's the biggest sports spectacle of the year in the world.
No, that's awesome.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. There's no question about it.
Absolutely. I believe my first one, the first one I watched from beginning to end, I believe was Super Bowl. I said this when I did an extra point with my brother last year, right before your guys' game with the Seahawks. I think the first Super Bowl I watched from beginning to end was, ironically, speaking of the Niners, Super Bowl 16 when they beat the Bengals at the Silverdome. I think that was the first one I watched. I vaguely remember the Raiders and Eagles. I was 9. I vaguely remember that game, or 8. But I do remember watching Super Bowl 16, Niners-Bengals from beginning to end. Cowboy, do you remember your first Super Bowl that you remember from beginning
to end? Yes. Super Bowl 19, Montana versus Marino. I believe I had just turned 5.
That's right. So
I remember it clear as day.
I was the biggest
senior,
Joe Montana.
Middlesex Street senior.
Yeah. That was
there
the biggest.
There you go. That was a good one. Yep.
That was the biggest.
The next year, the Patriots got their asses handed to them by Chicago. It was a sad day. It was a sad day in our household.
Hey, three road games in a row, beat the Jets at the Meadowlands, then beat the Raiders in L.A., and then what I thought was the biggest upset, went into Miami and beat the Dolphins in the AFC Championship. That was pretty impressive. But that Bears team, no one was going to touch them. No one's going to touch. Even if Miami, if Miami won that game, that would have been pretty amazing. But
Miami beat them in the regular season.
Yes, they did. That was their one loss.
The Marx brothers.
You should remember the Pats had a 3-0 lead. It was all downhill after that.
And then Stanley Morgan dropped what probably would have been a touchdown pass to give him a 10-0 lead. And then what's his name? Who was the tight end? Not Lynn Dawson. Murray blew his knee out. What was his name? Senior. Who was the other tight end?
Was it a
wide receiver? I thought it was a tight end.
Irving Fryer.
Yeah, I remember somebody going down.
No, it wasn't Irving Fryer.
Early in the game.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. I was only six, so.
Yeah, I remember who it was, but somebody's. Okay. I don't know. Trying to get.
They didn't have a chance in that game anyway. They had no shot. Let's face it. Nobody was going to beat that team.
AFC West. Let's bring it back to Carl.
I know. It's the extra point I was able to talk endlessly about old stuff for like an hour before. All right. Let's begin in the AFC West. Of course, four teams, Denver Broncos, San Diego Chargers, Oakland Raiders, the Raiders, and the Kansas City Chiefs, the Chiefs. Everybody thought this was Denver's division a year ago, and then they folded up like a cheap suit in the divisional playoffs against the Colts. Senior, a year older, without his top receiver, is this still the Broncos' division to win right now, you think?
No, definitely. Definitely. I mean, if you look at the other three teams and really, is there really, really a serious threat? Then it's just with the caveat of as long as Peyton doesn't go down. But, I mean, you could say that about anywhere, right? I mean, maybe there it's more likely because of the age factor with Peyton. But as long as Peyton's upright, yeah, it's their division. I mean, they're a fairly complete team. You know, their recipe for victory, and I think it's going to work a lot, especially in the regular season, is they use that high-powered passing game. He's still got Demaryius Thomas. He's still got Emmanuel Sanders. He still has C.J. Anderson in the backfield to dump it off to. And they get ahead, and then their defense immediately gets better when they're playing with a lead and force the other team to throw because now they've got the really good pass rushers, and those guys are healthy. They turn them loose. And they just beat you. I mean, they're a real good front runner. They get a lead, and they're tough to beat. And I look at those other three teams in this division, and I don't see a real serious threat. And the closest to a serious threat to me would be San Diego, and I don't see it. Definitely, you got to say Denver's the odds-on favorite to win this division. I don't think there's any doubt about it, and I'd be very surprised if they don't.
Well, I mean, they won the division by three games last year, you know, and, you know, as poorly as they played at the end of the season, with Manning was pretty clearly injured, I think. You know, I think what you saw from them at the end of the season, where they were still winning games, they did lose in the playoffs, of course, was kind of more of what you're going to see this year with Kubiak is run, 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 and run some more. They're going to save Manning's arm.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
they were high octane the first half of the season, and then he fell apart physically, and they were still able to win games behind the running game, but when it came to the playoffs, they couldn't keep up with the Colts.
Right. I mean, they got a great backfield. I mean, C.J. Anderson's back. Monty Ball is back, although there were rumors
they cut him. Monty Ball no longer plays for them. He was cut.
Yeah, they released him.
Did they? I thought they must have been recently because the Cowboys were trying to get him in a trade. So that must have been like today.
The Cowboys passed on him.
Yeah.
On waivers instead of because they got Christian Michael. But yeah, it's still a good backfield with them. They have C.J. Anderson, Ronnie Hillman, and Jawan Thompson.
Yeah.
All three are fine. They're going to run the ball a lot more, but those receivers are still dynamic. To Senior's point, they're a team that when they get ahead of you. They probably have the best pass rush in the NFL, and if those guys can pin their ears back, watch out. So I think for the Broncos, the question isn't so much the division. I think, I mean, barring an injury, a serious injury to Manning, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that they're going to win the division. It's are they going to go further than that? Can they get that playoff monkey off their back? And you know, I agree with what they're doing. I think if they want to compete with the Patriots and the Colts and the other powerhouses in the AFC, Manning needs to be 100% in the playoffs. If that means that his numbers aren't quite as good, so be it. Mm-hmm. I think C.J. Anderson is going to get as much work as he can handle this year. I think, yeah, I predict he leads the NFL in carries. You heard it here first.
I wouldn't totally be surprised. At least top five, I think. You know, San Diego. They have an interesting problem because they've got a myriad of running backs, but I wouldn't necessarily call them. I mean, Brandon Oliver, Melvin Gordon, UConn alum Donald Brown, Pat's cast off Danny. Right? Wasn't Danny Woodhead a Patriot?
Yep.
He was the one that,
a very good one.
Yeah, he was the one that tried to. We had him on our air on CBS Sports Network, and that was when he was going to break the record for Division II yards, and then he blew his knee out in the first carry. Phillip Rivers has some weapons. Malcolm Floyd. I mean, Antonio Gates is getting up there in age, but he could still get the job done. They may have the best shot to catch the Broncos. I want to think Kansas City does, but I mean, can you really trust? I mean, I was one of the biggest Alex Smith defenders when he was in San Francisco because I thought Jim Harbaugh gave him the shaft, but Jim Harbaugh's a piece of crap anyway. And I wanted him to succeed in Kansas City. I don't know if he's a pure winner, though. I don't know.
I don't think Alex Smith is the problem there. I mean, going back to San Diego. I mean, I don't think. I mean, offensively, they're a good. They have a good balanced offense. I mean, Gates is suspended for the first four games of the season for performance enhancing drugs, but Ladarius Green is a pretty good. Stopgap there for them. Melvin Gordon, I think he's a big key for them because he's looked like shit in the preseason. And Donald Brown sucks. And Brandon Oliver's not an every down back. So they need Gordon. I mean, they took him, 17th or 15th overall, whatever it was. Mm. They need him. They need him to be a stud. And he hasn't looked like it. But if he can be a stud, and Keenan Allen, I know you mentioned Floyd. Floyd's in his last year, but Keenan Allen is clearly their best receiver. He mm-hmm. had a down year last year. If he can return to that rookie year form, a lot of receivers, you know, in that third year, they step up. I mean, they should be a potent offense. Their defense is a little suspect,
right.
I think. Yeah. And the Chiefs are just the opposite. I think the Chiefs have a good defense. They got Barry's coming back. Justin Houston's might be the best pure pass rusher in the NFL. Alex Smith won't lose the game for you. Jamaal Charles is as good as any running back in the league. They've done it before, and they brought in Jeremy Maclin. So, senior, quick quiz.
I like Maclin.
How many touchdown passes did Kansas City Chiefs wide receivers catch last year?
Zero.
The answer is zero. That's correct.
No, so, really?
Zero.
Yes, I didn't get a touchdown pass to a wide receiver.
That's ridiculous.
Very, very true.
So they brought in they brought in Maclin back into Andy Reid's system. Alex Smith doesn't throw the ball downfield, so it's really interesting to see if he can be a true number one for them, then they could be really, really interesting. But I don't know.
I want to talk about. The Raiders.
I feel like Kansas City's the place where good.
He's helped by maybe Sheldon Little and a guy you haven't mentioned, a very dynamic player, is a tight end, Travis Kelce. He might be the closest thing to Rob Gronkowski out there. I'm not saying he's Gronk, but he's a beast. Mm. And I mean, he fits with Alex Smith. Alex Smith doesn't want to throw the ball downfield. I think Travis Kelce has a big, big year this year. Mm. Obviously, Charles is the heart and soul of the offense, but you got to give him some help. And at least Macklin's presence alone is going to require some attention. And I think Kelce has a big, big year for them.
I want to talk about Oakland super quick, and then we'll move on to the AFC South. There are a lot of pure, you know, skill talent guys, on this team now. I mean, Michael Crabtree came in. They drafted Amari Cooper, who's going to start immediately. They got some question marks at running back. I don't know if it'll be Murray or Helu or Tywan Jones. I've always liked Derek Carr if he had protection. I mean, the offensive line is brutal. Do they have any chance? I have a feeling they're going to score some points this year and may scare some people in some games. I could see them. I could see them passing Kansas City, and maybe finishing third.
Maybe.
Hey, there,
I mean, I you know, for the first time in about a decade, I can say I like the direction that the team's going. I think Cooper's a stud. Latavius Murray's a stud. I think Carr can be a good quarterback. I mean, their defense is pretty bad, and their offensive line's pretty bad, which is, it's tough to win in the NFL when with those two things. But at least they're pointed in the right direction. I see them going about 5-11, though. What do you think, Senior?
Yeah, I think they're going to be fairly exciting. The guy, if the offensive line can come together a little bit, I think they could have a good offense because they do have some good skill position players. I mean, Cooper looks to me like he's going to be special. I think Murray's going to be a really good back. Crabtree's Crabtree, and I do like Derek Carr. But, you know, for an offense, no matter how good your skill players are, it's impossible for an offense to function unless the offensive line becomes adequate. Their biggest problem is they're just going to give up so many points. I mean,
yeah, no, they are. Terrible. No, the defense.
So 5-11 is probably optimistic, really. It's just hard doing games. But, I mean, they do have some nice pieces. If you look into the future, they've got some nice pieces at the skill position. First thing you got to do is build an offensive line that can at least function.
Yeah.
And I remember last year there were a few teams, our guys included, the Patriots, the Steelers, another one, who at the beginning of the year, we were really questioning those offensive lines. And somehow they came together. You know, I don't know if that's possible in Oakland, where an offensive line can just look awful and somehow can get the teamwork together. I mean, so much of offensive line is getting used to playing together and coming together and just be adequate. I'm not saying they're going to be the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, but just be adequate. If they can be adequate, this team's going to score some points and be a fun young team to watch. I mean, if you like seeing scoring, you're going to see it at both ends. If they start scoring, you'll be seeing high-scoring games, obviously, because they're going to give up just a boatload of points. But, I mean, if you're a Raiders fan, at least you feel good like, hey, we've got some talented guys to watch. We're on the right track. And
right.
It's not going to happen this year, but that's the best thing.
I mean,
all right, guys, we're doing the whole NFL tonight. So let's pick order of finish, AFC West. Scott, you go first.
I haven't gotten accustomed to having to cut Senior off. But before we do that, look who walked in the door, holding a case of Gansett and everything. The doctor. Dr. G. George Bellino.
Hey, guys.
Completing the horseman.
Hey, Doc.
How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah, Derek Carr had some good games last year. I mean, he had some moments. But, yeah, he got the crap kicked out of him for most of last season. I like Denver, San Diego, Oakland, Kansas City.
I'm going to go Denver, Kansas City, San Diego, Oakland.
Senior?
I'll go Denver, San Diego, Kansas City, Oakland.
Doctor?
You know, I'm going to go with your pick, what you said, Roger, because I think everybody's going Denver. I mean, at this point, I mean, who doesn't think they're going to, you know, take that division?
All right.
How do you like the rest of the division laid out? Who's second, third, and fourth?
He said like me. So
oh, like you.
So we took Denver, Kansas City, San Diego, Oakland.
San Diego and Oakland. All right.
Sure, it was you. He said like Roger.
That's why
you go two ways.
I don't even know.
Look, we're agreeing already. Look at this.
I don't even know if they know your name is Roger.
All right.
I'm just seeing you. That makes it easier.
Let's go to the AFC
South.
Well, there's only one Dr. G. There's no nurses anywhere. Although, if your dad was still alive, there would be a senior and junior. Although, we would have to have a separate segment.
I think last year we had, if we were knocked down the wall last year, I think we had some nurses in the lounge a few times.
Yep, what, tending to our flock? Bring an IV bag in at the halftime of the episode.
All right, let's go to the AFC South. And senior's favorite team for 2015, the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they got a lot of talent. They got a great quarterback with a weird voice. They did get Frank Gore. I mean, I'd like to think that overall they probably are the best team in this division. I mean, Jacksonville, I think, is going to make a couple of strides. Not a crazy strides, but I think they'll make a couple of strides. Houston has some rebuilding to do. And then Tennessee, also with some rebuilding to do. So the Colts are in a pretty decent position here because the other three teams below them are all rebuilding for the most part. They'll all be starting new quarterbacks, most of them. Let's see. Titans obviously have his name just went out of my head. Mariota will probably be the starter. He'll obviously have why is his name escaping me? That's because I don't watch enough AFC South. Bortles in Jacksonville. So you're going to have Bortles. You're going to have – it's a very young division in terms of quarterbacks. You've got Bortles. You've got Mariota.
Hoyer is the starter in Houston.
Hoyer's the starter in Houston, and then Luck. So you got a lot of young quarterbacks. But I don't know, Senior. I think top to bottom, the Colts are probably still the best team in this division.
Easily. I mean, let's face it. They've got the easiest ticket to winning a division of any of the good teams in football. You know, people have said that about the Pats in the East for a long time, and it might have been true, but right now the East is going to be tough. This division's a joke, really.
If the Colts don't win this division by five games, it's a huge upset.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm going to give you my feeling on the Colts, okay? They're going to be very good. They're going to score a boatload of points. I love their quarterback. How can you not love Andrew Luck? Best young quarterback in the game. Elite. Everything you want to say. Their offense is going to be electric. They're going to go into the playoffs as a high seed. And when they meet a team that has two things, talent and physicality, they're going to roll up like a bunch of bums and booze. That's as far as they go. This is a team that just gets manhandled when you get physical with them. And if you just look at their record against the Patriots, that's what the Patriots are under them. They just ran the ball down their throats off, just handed off all day long and just beat them up physically. And they can name the score against them. And
Cowboys did the same thing.
And in the organization that we just resort to making ridiculous excuses. I don't think they have the heart of a champion. I think the quarterback does. I think he's a class act and a great player. But I think the rest of this team, they're going to be wonderful during the season. They're going to light up the fantasy boards and everything else. But come playoff time, a team like the Pats or the Ravens, a good physical team with some talent, just going to punch them in the mouth and take it to them because they lack toughness and character that you need to win in the playoffs against that kind of team. That's my take on the Colts. They're going to be my punching bag. Okay, I don't like them. I don't like this team at all, except for the quarterback. The only guy on the team I like. And that's what I think. I think they're a characterless, heartless team with a lot of talent. They won't be a champion.
Senior, I think that's a little bit harsh. I mean, the Colts.
You think?
To say they have no heart. I mean, I'll say that they, what they lack that a champion needs is the ability to stop the run. So that's, as Scott alluded to, the Cowboys ran right through them. The Patriots, every time they play them, some bum running back off the street runs for 200 yards. Jonas Gray, Blount, like his first game back with the Patriots. They can't stop the run, and it's real, real tough to beat a good team when you can't stop the run. But to say the team's got no heart, Luck is all heart. It, 2 minutes left in a game, I need a touchdown drive to win. I want Luck. I would take him over any quarterback in the NFL in that situation, including Tom Brady, including Aaron Rodgers. But I can understand. Senior, you're a little salty about the deflate thing.
I love that word, salty.
You point to their inability to stop the run, Raj, but how come in these games where teams get physical with them and all of a sudden their offense doesn't do much either? I mean, you punch that offensive line, you punch this team in the mouth and they roll over like dogs. Okay, they might be the physical team that has no talent, but if you have some talent and you get physical with them, they have no shot. And to me, that's no character. That's not the toughness of a champion.
All right.
And that's their Achilles heel, and you're not going to go all the way with that as an Achilles heel. There's just no way. Mm. I don't care how flashy your offense is and everything else. That's where they're going to, when it comes down to reaching down and having the heart of a champion, they roll over like dogs.
Do you think they?
I'm not talking about the QB. I'm talking about the rest of the clone.
Do you think they added some kind? I mean, I think they added some character guys in Gore and Andre Johnson. I mean, those guys. Say what you want about them; they're both tough. Absolutely. I mean, any 32-year-old running.
Yeah, maybe that's why they added those guys, and maybe that made sense.
What do you think about Bortles?
I agree. I like Gore and Andre Johnson, so maybe they added a little bit, but not.
What was that, Scott?
What do you think about Blake Bortles? Do you think Jacksonville will improve a little bit? I mean, they did get Julius Thomas, although some people scratch their heads as to why he even bothered to. I mean, he was on a perennial AFC championship contender, and now he's going to a team that may win four games, might win four games. I do like Allen Robinson. I think he's a pretty good receiver. Yeah,
they paid him. I mean, they paid Julius Thomas a lot of money. That's usually why guys go to shitty teams.
Well, yeah, that's the sad part.
So he's done. He's out for the first 4 weeks, which really hurts them. I think you guys know my stance on Blake Bortles. I said it when he was drafted. I think he's awful, and I think it was a terrible pick, and I don't think he'll be their quarterback 2 years from now.
Dr. G, did the Giants play the Colts last year?
I don't remember.
I know, because the Cowboys played the Colts.
I honestly don't remember. It was kind of a forgettable season.
Well, we'll get
to Odell Beckham.
Dr. G just doesn't remember anything about the Giants season.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a big Navy
blue. That's what I would do.
We'll get to the Giants later. All right, top to bottom, I say, because I think Marcus Mariota is going to put up a lot of points for Tennessee, but their defense sucks too. Yeah. It's a division of pretty bad defenses. Houston's is, I mean, they got the best. They have the single best defensive player in the NFL, but overall their defense is 50-50, probably second best in the division. So I'm going to say
in the division. Come on, Scott. Houston's got the best defense in the division. I don't think it's really that close. They have no quarterback.
They're not going to score any points.
Houston. I said this about Houston. Last year was, I mean, it's really a shame because they're pretty loaded except at quarterback, kind of like the Jets. You know, they have a lot of good pieces. J.J. Watt's like the best defensive player I've seen since Lawrence Taylor. And last year I got into an argument with Keith. I said, it doesn't matter how good the team is, you're never going to go better than 8-8 with Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
And I would say Hoyer's a downgrade from Fitzpatrick.
Oh, big time.
So I don't think you can go. I don't think you can go better than 7-9 with Brian Hoyer as your quarterback in the NFL.
And they don't have any really backups. I mean, they're going to start the year with Alfred Blue, because I know Foster's hurt. I mean, they got Hopkins at wide receiver, but I mean, it's just. I mean, who do you got after him? You got Ryan Mallett, and then you got Tom Savage. So that is definitely the one position problem in Houston. Could they squeeze a wild card or no?
Yeah, if the things fall the right way. I mean, J.J. Watt's that good. And if Foster's supposed to be back in the first, you know, if he actually comes back in the first 4 weeks and they can, I mean, he's very good. And if they can pound the rock and then take shots downfield to Hopkins and things break the right way where they win their close games, they could go 10-6, I guess. I don't see it happening, but it is not completely out of the realm of possibility.
No.
The other two teams, I mean, I don't think they'll combine for 7 wins.
Well, let me ask you, could the Texans be a destination for RG3?
God, I guess.
You know?
I mean, I guess it depends on what you think he's got left. Do you think he's even an upgrade over Hoyer at this point? He's a running quarterback who can't run anymore.
Yeah, it's true. He's a quarterback with old man legs. All right, I'll say Colts, Texans, Titans, Jaguars.
I second that.
Okay, I'll say Colts, Texans, and just a couple of little comments about the defense. The Texans defense is a couple of guys besides Watt that I'm kind of interested in watching. Clowney's supposed to start the season healthy if he becomes the guy he's supposed to be.
Mm.
A good defense could get a lot better, and they got a big guy in the middle that's still got a little left in the tank and could really provide some leadership for them. And
Big Vince.
Yeah. Okay. So I think they're clearly the second best team in this division because the other two are so bad.
Right.
I like Jacksonville and better than Tennessee. To be honest with you, I do like Mariota, but after that, Tennessee. I think Tennessee could be the worst team in the NFL. So I'll put Jacksonville third and Tennessee fourth. I also like Bortles a little more than Roger does. I think he has a chance to have a career as an NFL quarterback if he can put something in front of him. I think he's showing signs of progress. I like the kid.
Take a look at the town. Well, what do you think, Doctor? I mean, obviously Colts. Who do you like better, Jacksonville or Tennessee?
Oh, boy. Boy, asking me to pick from...
Yeah. It's like picking between the Rosati sisters.
Yeah, I mean... Oh, wow. They're both just really awful. But you know what? I just never have any hope for Jacksonville, so I'm gonna pick them for last.
Okay.
Get on that train with me. They'll be 1-15, and the Titans will be 3-13.
Let's look at that quickly before I'm going to take a quick.
And the Colts will probably be 13-3.
That wouldn't, or 14-2 wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I could see them
even roll over in the playoffs.
It's similar to like the Broncos. The regular season's almost a moot point unless Luck goes down. I mean, they're playing for a bye. The division should be that easy.
Mariota's there. I mean, they have Sankey, Cobb. I mean, Dexter McCluster, what is he, like 50?
Cobb is done. Cobb's out until week 10.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want a guy to watch for the Titans who I think could be a big surprise this year. And, you know, he might be terrible too, but I think he's got at least the raw physical skills. Is Doriel Green Beckham. I like him. 6'5", about 240, runs like a gazelle. I think he was the number one high wide receiver recruit in the country. He had some off the field stuff. So he dropped to the second round and he could step up.
Hmm. He's a great college player. All right, let's go to the NFC. So we all pretty much think that the Colts will make the playoffs from this division. There's no wild cards. Let's go to the AFC North. A lot of seniors' favorite teams in this division. Kind of open. It's kind of wide open, though. Cincinnati with Mr. Azzaro's favorite quarterback, Andy Dalton. This is another quarterback division. Obviously, Roethlisberger. I mean, Big Ben, the guy throws for 4,000 yards, and I think he got hit last year more than Derek Carr did. And they're going to have they're going to have a 50-50 offensive line too. Cleveland's a weird team. Not only do they have bizarre uniforms now, but they got to make up their mind about who they want at quarterback. If Johnny Manziel is not going to start, you might as well get rid of him. Because I mean, to make a splash like that and draft him last year, and he barely played. Josh McCown is not going to be a playoff quarterback. Let's go around the horn. Doctor, pick the week that Johnny Manziel becomes the starter of this team, the everyday starter of this team.
I'm going to say week three.
Week three. Cowboy? Oh, God, Jay.
No, I mean, I think they're going to realize that, yeah, first of all, I think he should start the season. Like you said, why even have him on the team at this point? He got a taste of playing last year. Give him a shot. I mean, you have nothing to lose here, but that doesn't seem to be like that. That's who they want to go with. But I think after the first couple weeks, when you see some bad play out there, you'll see Manziel in there.
Okay, so he says you say week three, Cowboy.
Man, did you guys watch him play last year?
He's no worse than Josh McCown is.
He was worse than Josh McCown last year. I mean, he was really, really, really bad. And I mean, maybe some of it's the booze. And I mean, you know, it's good he's gotten his life together. I think they still look at him at least somewhat as. I don't think they want to ruin him. And I think if you throw him out there week two or week three, you're just going to ruin him. I mean, he's not ready. I mean, he was awful last year. He's maybe the outside of Ryan Lindley, the worst quarterback to take a snap in the NFL last year. With that said, I do think he'll start some games, either due to injury or ineffectiveness by McCown. So, but I'll say week 10.
Week 10. Okay. Senior.
Yeah, I think they're going to be, you know, they're going to be bad and losing games. And, yeah, I think they probably put him in there at some point, just, if nothing else, to create some interest begins. I say, yeah, I'm going through these doldrums of this season.
Right.
I'll stay weak.
More time, senior.
What'd you say again? Which week?
No, you know, did you say week 6?
Talked about being a different personality, but, you know, then another Tim Tebow that just isn't built to play in the NFL.
Week 6, and also, senior?
Is that what you said?
I
week
said
6?
Seven.
Week 7.
Week 7.
All week right. 7. All right. I say he starts Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to think more like Doctor. I think it's going to be week 4. So he says 3. I say 4. Senior says 7. And Cowboy says 10. Okay. Talent-wise, though, who is the best team in this division? Is it still Cincinnati?
Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh probably has the second, you know, maybe the second best offense in the NFL, maybe the third best offense in the NFL.
I mean, they got a great. I mean, Antonio Brown's a beast. We know that.
I mean, they're loaded. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's probably the best running back in the NFL. Roethlisberger's a top five quarterback. Antonio Brown's the new Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison type receiver. Brian, it hurts them that Martavis Bryant's suspended for the first 4 games, but when he comes back, I mean, he's absolutely dynamic. They're going to have no trouble putting points up, and I actually expect some regression. I think this is the year kind of falls apart for Cincy. You know, they've been teetering on that. You know, make the playoffs and lose, that's their thing. And I think finally, kind of like with Sanchez, the way that ended for the Jets, I think that's what's going to – Dalton's looked like shit in the preseason. I think that comes to a head. They're looking at like an eight season. Baltimore, you just never know with Baltimore. They'll probably get a wild card and then beat the Patriots in the playoffs. But I think Pittsburgh's the class of the division.
So maybe Andy Dalton will go to the Jets then. Wouldn't that be funny?
I'd love to see JR with a Dalton.
I
think that'd be funny.
I think both the guys the Jets have. That team is loaded, and he is awful. I mean, I could go out there and do what he does with those kind of weapons. I mean, how many times does the guy hang AJ Green out to dry or miss AJ Green? He gets his receivers hurt. He sucks. He sucks. What do you guys think?
I want to like him.
I think he is the problem with that team.
I jumped on his bandwagon when he was at TCU, and then he just disappoints me every time. And he's got some incredible guys around him. He's got AJ Green. He's got Marvin Jones. He's got a growing, I think, a very talented young tight end in Tyler Eifert. Of course, ND guy. Pretty decent group of running backs. Hill, Giovanni Bernard. He's got spots in the skill positions. They just find a way to, you know. He always picks the worst days to throw 3 picks. So, but he's got a guy.
I mean, that's probably the best 1-2 punch at running back in the whole NFL. I don't know how you feel, senior.
Yeah.
I mean,
what do you think, senior? Jeremy Hill and Bernard.
Definitely. It's a real thunder of the deal. They're totally in the toilet. I think they have. Talent to that, and you know, last Hill's going to be on that role right at the beginning of the season. So I still see them being a pretty. They can't win because they get such terrible quarterback in the playoffs than they did in the regular season. Only if Dalton. So, man, I still see them being in the thick of the divisional race in the regular season. I don't think Cincinnati's going down the tubes.
So, senior, now that you have the fast internet, you got to remind me to come over and set up Skype for you, because it sounds like you're talking to us from the fucking moon.
Yeah. We're not doing too good. I'm not doing too good hearing you guys either. It was good for a while.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to say Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and...
You got the Ravens go... Yeah, Cleveland beat...
Oh, wait. No. Scratch that. I just thought of that. I just blanked. I meant Baltimore. Baltimore and Cincinnati is an interesting situation here. They're going to be close. They're going to battle to the end for that wild card spot, for one of the wild card spots. I'm going to say Pittsburgh, Cincinnati's going to edge the Ravens by a game, but they'll still both be very good, and then Cleveland filling out the rear. Joe Flacco, another guy.
Right,
that,
I'm going to go with the...
Go ahead, Cowboy.
I'll go with the Pittsburgh, Baltimore, with both of them making the playoffs. Baltimore's a wild card. Cincinnati missing the playoffs at 8-8 with Marvin Lewis and Dalton. This is their last years in Cincinnati. And then Cleveland bringing up the rear, 6-10.
What do you think, Doctor?
Sorry, I'm not getting like every other word here. I apologize.
Oh. AFC North.
I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh. I'm gonna go with Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. I think I'm gonna go with Cowboys. Cowboy Junior, I guess, if you want to go. We're green. This is unprecedented here.
Yeah, I think he always wanted to kick me.
George, you're just riding the Cowboy train. That's a good place to be in football season. Let me tell you, it's a good place to be.
All right.
Well, we'll see.
Okay, I'll give you mine. I'm going Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore, all three making the playoffs in that order.
Wow.
And Cleveland holding up the rear. And then come playoff time, that third place team, Baltimore, goes further than the other two.
Wow!
So, because they just—that's just them. They get better in the playoffs.
So you're—it's a carbon copy of what happened last year.
There you go.
Right, all three of them made the playoffs last year, and Baltimore made it the furthest.
Baltimore advances the furthest. Yeah, that's just the way that division goes.
You know, Cowboys, you're right. It's something about Baltimore. It's like it's kind of like how the San Francisco Giants are in baseball. If they make the playoffs, no matter how they get in there, all of a sudden it's like a whole new ball game for them, and they amp it up.
It's like the new, not to suck up to you, George, but it's kind of like the New York Giants in football as well.
And there you go.
If they get in, they don't get in often, but if they get in, watch out.
True, I agree. That's a good point. Good.
Yeah.
Good point. I haven't made it.
Look, the Ravens, it starts with the quarterback. If you look at Flacco's numbers, playoffs as opposed to postseason as opposed to regular season, he becomes a different guy. He just plays out of his mind.
That's where he's made his money.
Yeah, he's a clutch player. You got to give it to him. He's very pedestrian through the season. I mean, is he really much better than Dalton in the regular season? Probably not. Difference is Dalton becomes even worse when it's on the line, and Flacco becomes Superman when it's on the line. Right. Got to give it to him. Got to give him credit. He rises to the occasion.
And let's be honest about it. When you say they're good in the playoffs, what that really means is they play the Patriots well, you know, right? I mean, that's yes. It's true. I mean, the playoffs go through New England in the AFC every year, and Baltimore plays the Patriots better than any other team. So they have some big wins against the Pats.
Yeah, as a Patriots fan, they're the team we fear the most. No doubt about it.
Yep.
If you remember last year, Baltimore and Pittsburgh played in the first round of the playoffs. And we did an episode of the Sports Lounge, and Senior had been riding that Pittsburgh hate hog all season. And the winner of that game plays the Pats. And it was me, Senior, and Rob Carpenter. And, you know, I'm like, Senior picked the Ravens. I watched the game with Senior. I think you were there, Scott. He rooted for the Ravens. So I'm like, why do you want to play the Ravens? Why do you want
to play the Ravens? I remember that. Definitely. All right.
But it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, it did. All right. Now we get to the division that you two are most familiar with, and that is, of course, the AFC East. There is no doubt, even if he had missed the first four games, The Patriots are the best team in this division. All four teams are very good, though. And all four teams have strengths that can counter other teams' strengths. I like Todd Bowles. The Jets are the Jets, though. They've got the talent, except at quarterback, I think. I don't know how long we can lean on Geno Smith, or the Jets can lean on Geno Smith. I think their defense is going to be fantastic. I think they're going to be fast. I think they're going to hit hard. Just a question of scoring points. I'm going to love the way Rex Ryan coaches the Bills. I think they're going to hit hard. I think they're going to jaw jack. I think they're going to be in everybody's face, but in a good legal way, not a dirty way. But I think they're going to freak people out. And then you got Miami, who seems to always kind of float under the radar. And they have a quarterback that a lot of people think is 50-50. In fact, Doctor, remember you and I had a conversation with your cousins a couple days ago, two Dolphins fans. Remember? Two completely different opinions. One hates Ryan Tannehill, one loves Ryan Tannehill. Very weird. Very polarizing, I think he is down there. But Senior, I'm going to I don't know if Cowboy lets you do this, but I am opening the floor to you. You can take as long as you want. Your platform is here.
That's pretty typical of those.
Typical what? Oh, Dolphin fans, yeah. So the platform is yours, Senior. 2015 New England Patriots. Go.
Well, of course the Patriots are going to be good. I mean, there's no question. And I think it's going to be your typical, it might be a lot like what you saw last year, where they don't get it off to a great start. The offensive line has some issues right now, you know, so it takes that a little time to gel when they all get healthy. You get back, and by the end of the season, they're going to be a much better team than you're going to see tomorrow night. But I still... This is a good division. I respect everyone in the class of the division.
All right. We had a little break up there from Apollo 12, but
Apollo
12. Yeah, we're going to fix this week for you. You got the good internet now. We can't do the cell phone stuff anymore. But now every show won't cost me $10 either. It'll be good.
You're going to come down. You're just going to come down, Cowboy.
Yeah.
And give me a hand with it, and we'll be all set.
Come on, we're big time now, Cowboy. We need to get the IT department in and take care of this.
You know, when we started the lounge, he used to come over. And we do it together, sitting there, which was optimal. But it makes it
right.
Tough. But I agree. I agree on the Pats, Senior. I mean, everyone says the division's much improved. I'm not 100% sold on that. I think the Jets and the Bills are both a little better. I mean, they're kind of the same team, though, right? You know, good, very good defenses, pretty good skill position players, nothing all at quarterback. I mean, and then Miami, until Miami does better than 8-8, I'm not going to say they're going to do better than 8-8. You know, I mean, Tannehill is the second best quarterback in the division. You know, Scott, you would be the second best quarterback in the division. But the thing, if you watch them, he doesn't throw very good balls. If he can add that to his game, they got a shot. But I see those three teams being, you know, 7-9, 8-8, 9-7.
Okay. I like Buffalo to grab a wild card spot. I do. I don't know why, but I do. I think E.J. Manuel is the perfect guy for Rex Ryan to sculpt into a quarterback. I don't know why. I know it sounds crazy.
He's third string, man.
I know it sounds crazy. But I have a feeling he's going to sculpt.
Third string.
I don't think that's going
to... They're playing now. They're starting Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to last.
Yeah,
I think he's
going to
sculpt. I think he's going to sculpt DJ.
Kind of guys who can run.
We'll see. So, all right.
Yeah.
Patriots, Bills, Jets, Dolphins.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I am all on the Sexy Rex bandwagon in Buffalo.
Oh, I was more commenting on that big dump you just took on the Dolphins.
I just don't think their defense. I have a feeling their defense is going to struggle, but it's going to be close. Like you said, all three teams may go 7-9. I mean,
the Dolphins added Sue. I mean, I think they're the second.
I have a bad feeling about him. I don't know, Senior. He doesn't seem like your kind of guy, Sue.
Oh, no. There's not too much to like about a guy, but if he's on your team, I think you could start to like him pretty quick.
True.
He is a ferocious. He's a great player. I mean, not exactly a number one A character guy, but hey, this is football, and he's a great player. And
half the league
makes Miami better. There's
right. About that. Half the league is full of non character guys. So
that's right. That's right.
I don't know.
Truth. You love the guy. He's a beast. He's an absolute.
Yeah. Beast. I don't know. I'm on. I don't know, something about Buffalo that I don't know. I think it's just Rex's change of scenery and kind of some free reign and not a wonky management. I don't know, something about Buffalo.
Yeah, well, I mean, they added LeSean McCoy, who is very capable of, you know, like leading the NFL in rushing. I mean, that's their
right.
That's their ticket, right? Is, you know, you ride McCoy, Taylor runs. You know, you have Sammy Watkins, who's a, you know, a heck of a receiver who
right.
can take some pressure. Off and then it's Rex football. That defense is good. I mean, that defense is really, really good. So they're kind of similar. You know, you could see them going 10-10 by winning their close games, which Rex is good at that. And I think the way, you know, kind of the tortured history of the Jets too would be that Rex in his, like, and I don't think it'll happen, but like in his first or second year is finally the guy to topple the Patriots.
Right.
Right after he leaves the Jets.
Yeah. So, all right. So who's your 1-4, Cowboy?
Oh, Pats, Dolphins, Bills, Jets.
Wow.
With only the Patriots making the playoffs.
Okay. Senior?
Wow, you put Miami second.
I go Pats, Buffalo, Miami, Jets.
Wow. I'm even giving more love to the Jets than you guys. That doesn't surprise me, though.
No, you know, picking them below those two teams, I mean, not as much of an insult. Those are two pretty good teams.
So JR can't say I'm shitting on the Jets because you guys are really brutalizing them.
No, and I mean, to be fair, I would say the Patriots are 13-3, Miami's 9-7, Buffalo's 8-8, the Jets are 7-9.
Right.
And you can flip flop those teams. I think
the Bills are a little bit better than the Jets. I think their defense is a little bit better. I think their running game is going to be a little bit better. And I actually like Taylor better than any of the quarterback than Fitzpatrick. I have a real issue with Fitzpatrick being a star.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback in the NFL. I don't think. And Miami, with that, adding Sue, and Miami's loaded. I mean, they have, you know, Lamar Miller is a very, very good running back. Jarvis Landry is, you know, really an emerging receiver. And adding Sue to an already good defense. And I mean, it is on. It's, and Tannehill was good last year. I mean, if you look at his numbers, he was good. So I'm picking them second based on having the second best quarterback in the division.
Okay. So our four division winners are pretty much all the same. New England, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Denver. What a shock. Seems like the same four teams each the last, like, 4 years. Well, I guess Cincinnati won the division a couple times. Our wild cards kind of varied. Senior, who were your two wild cards?
Baltimore and Cincinnati.
Okay. Baltimore and Cincinnati. Cowboy, your two wild card teams.
Baltimore and the Chiefs.
Wow. Okay. Dr. G?
Yeah. Oh.
I'm going to say, I can't believe we're going to go Baltimore and the Chiefs as well.
Wow.
Doctor.
Wow.
A lot of love for the chefs here.
The chefs. I'm going to say, I'm going to say Cincinnati and Baltimore too. Although Buffalo could sneak in at the end there and steal one of those two. If I had to pick one of the two teams in the North that would not make it, it would be Cincinnati, even though I think this could be Andy Dalton's last chance to not suck. So, all right. Senior, I know you have to bolt. Super Bowl 50. Santa Clara.
Okay.
Who's in?
Okay. It'll be a classic. Super Bowl 50. The Patriots repeat beating the Cowboys in a really good Super Bowl.
Wow.
While you guys can still hear me before I cut out again, I'll give you my you want MVP and Rookie of the Year, right?
Yes. Yep. Give me your MVP.
Rookie of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Amari Cooper of the Raiders. And MVP, coming from a team that didn't make the Super Bowl, Andrew Luck, MVP.
Okay. I like a Super Bowl pick. All right. Well, Senior, it's been fun. Thank you for the use of the rotary phone. And I wonder if it's that 70s lime green color. What do you think, Cowboy? Or is it like that brown?
So we thought it was the phone. He's got a new phone. It's just he lives out in the middle of the woods. And Skype is not built to just like call somebody on the phone. You know?
No.
Just, I mean, it does add to his kind of character that he is. I'm hoping the fans picture him like he can't like be on the computer and on the phone at the same time. You know? So, Senior, we're gonna get that taken care of.
That's all funny.
Right, you come in with the tech squad this week, and I'll be right. All set for next week.
All right, the way that sounded perfect.
All right, we're going to take a break on our premiere edition of Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution. When we return, we will dive into the NFC.
Guys, it's all a lot of fun. Good night, everybody. And I can't wait till tomorrow night and Sunday. There's nothing better than the NFL spotting.
That is true. Unless you're in a pennant race, which I'm not used to. When we come back, NFC, we'll talk Giants.
Hey,
we'll
Scott.
Talk. Yes.
Scott, we're on break.
I was about to go to it.
Go ahead.
Premier editions are always a little shaky. It's all good. When we come back, NFC on the Sports Evolution Show.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network. That's the Pro Wrestling Only, Place to Be Nation, Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows, not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds, wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Goodwill Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brainbuster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
Nation to the premier edition of your home for everything sports, Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution. Scott Criscola, the Cowboy, Roger Morset, and the Doctor, Dr. G. George Polino. Thanks for Cowboy Senior for joining us. He had to skip out, make some hard-earned money, but he'll be back, of course, next week. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. The staff continues their excellent WWE Network adventures, where we go through the network and watch everything in chronological order and do a review on it. I actually joined the crew for the first time for an MSG house show from April 6th, 1981 from Madison Square Garden. Did you know on that evening that Moondog Rex was looking to be a dual champion? I bet you didn't know that, Dr. G.
No, I didn't.
Moondog Rex was already tag team champions with Moondog King. A month before, they had beaten Tony Garea and Rick Martel. And now that night at this house show, he was facing Pedro Morales for the Intercontinental title. Did he win? Check it out. Along with a great cage match with Bob Backlund and a brawl between Sergeant Slaughter and Pat Patterson. So check out our excellent WWE Network adventure, MSG House Show, from April 6th, 1981. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday walk around the web. Next, most recent episode of Richard and the Mailman as they go to the Jersey Shore. The Volk Hanathon. What the hell does that even mean? Dave Musgrave has your answer. Just check the article out. Volk Hanathon. You'll see the title on PlaceToBeNation.com. And if you want to know what it means, check it out. Brian Bayless with your Raw recap from Monday night. And I believe they were in Baltimore. Our man Joel Barnhart gave his September power rankings for Major League Baseball as we are down the home stretch. What did the Bombers do tonight, Dr. G? Did they play?
They lost. We're not going to talk about it.
Okay. The Mets won. We can talk about it if you'd like.
No, let's not. Say we did.
Place to Be Nation's NBA team podcast, International Incident. Adam Murray, Andrew Reich, considering the trip through all things international in the NBA. And then the Kevin Kelly Show on Monday night. Kevin and JR talked about the news of the day, future of Jimmy Snuka, looking at Night of Champions, which is in a couple weeks, and etc. So check out the newest episode of the Kevin Kelly Show right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. All right, we did the AFC. We did it well,
Scott, if I might say so.
I think we did a fantastic job. We apologize for some of the technical snafus. We will iron those out as time progresses.
Scott and George, Scott and Doctor. Mm-hmm. I know I said he thought I sounded like he was on like the moon, but that I had a revelation on the break. You know, I was we don't have the lounge anymore, but we still have pieces of the lounge. I was just enjoying some of the scenery in here and the studio, you know, kicking back at a little cigar. And I said, you know, it doesn't sound like he's on the moon. It sounds like he's calling directly from the Mars rover. Right? Like right on the sitting right on the front of it.
Anyway. What do you think of the studio? What do you think of the room now, guys? We blew the wall out. We've got all the we morphed all of our different decorations. The cigars are awesome. Got the beer, we got some scotch.
Best of both worlds, baby. Right. You know.
Got the Derek Jeter.
The lounge was a dirty dirty place. So you guys have cleaned things up a little.
Well, we got rid of the what do they call the beads that go in and out? You know, you had a bead door, you know, like old school, like Greg Brady's room and on the Brady Bunch. You know, the beads. We got rid of those, but we added.
I don't know why. I don't know if we're thinking of the same kind of beads, Scott, but that's the could be the dirtiest thing I've ever heard you say.
No, that's not what I meant. You're disgusting.
I know we were reviewing 50 Shades of Grey on this show.
Anyway.
did you guys ever come to the lounge? I mean, this is not a stretch. Not a stretch.
But anyway, the new room here looks fantastic. We got a bigger fridge.
The lounge wasn't red now, was it?
At least
we only had one. Now. We only had one red room, George. That's where D'Amato spent most of his time.
Oh God, who it is? We got plenty of. We got a bigger fridge, and the doctor and I brought in some good cigars, so we're in good shape. We're in good shape here in the premier edition of the Sports Evolution. All right, let's dive into the NFC. We just did the AFC, and we all pretty much we had the same four division winners: New England, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Denver.
Denver.
Yes, I had Baltimore and Buffalo as my no. What did I say? Baltimore,
you said,
Cincinnati.
You said Cincinnati, but yeah. Buffalo could sneak.
I said Buffalo could sneak. You guys
hedged.
You guys took Cowboy. You took who?
Baltimore and Kansas City.
The doctor took Baltimore and Kansas City, and then I think Senior took Baltimore and Cincinnati. So.
Okay. I mean, I think it's kind of tough to pick the same exact six teams.
I know.
That made it last year, which is Baltimore and Cincinnati.
I know.
Right? So I try to throw a little wrinkle. Well, you know, the NFL is all about parity. So, you know, Tennessee will probably make the playoffs this year.
I know. No kidding. It's like the Kansas Royals. All right. Let's dive into the NFC. We'll start in the NFC West, and let's talk about, obviously, the defending conference champions, and that is the Seahawks. I mean, they're still loaded. Russell Wilson is still great. Marshawn Lynch is still great. They have great receivers. They have a good tight. They now have added Jimmy Graham, who's probably, you know, arguably next to Gronk and a couple other guys, top three or four tight ends in the league. The Niners are going to be awful. The Rams are going to be a little better. And Arizona's the weird team. Their defense is good. I don't know how much more Carson Palmer has in the tank. I mean, they have Drew Stanton, and now Matt Barkley's their third string. They do have Andre Ellington. I do like their receivers. I don't know, Cowboy. Can anybody really touch Seattle in this division? I don't think so.
So I believe the... there is a team that can beat the Seahawks in this division. And sorry for the technical difficulty, folks, by the way. New show, new equipment. We don't know how to work it, but we'll figure it out.
We did all. We blew the walls out and put in all the cool pictures and beer and cigars, but God forbid any of the equipment works.
Why would we check that out? Come on.
I know, you're kidding.
So if this isn't flowing perfectly, that's why. But I was talking about Scott asked who, if anybody could beat the Seahawks in this division, and I said that yes, the Cardinals can. I picked them to win the division last year. Not a lot of people did. They started out 9-0. They lost. They were even winning with Stanton. You know, Palmer went down, and they were winning with Stanton, who is not great.
After Stanton went down, they were screwed because Ryan Lindley's the worst excuse for an NFL quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, remember we were watching that playoff game at Bonehead?
It was sad.
It really was sad. When they lost to Carolina, they had like 11 yards of total offense.
No, I mean, legitimately, I mean, I always say this sometime in jest, but I legitimately feel like I could have gone out there and done what he did. I mean, what was he about, you know, 8 for 30 with 3 picks or something? I mean, I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was horrendous.
Really, really bad. But before that, they were really, really good. And, I mean, they had a 3-game lead on Seattle. I think they were 9-1, and Seattle was 6-4. And then it all came crashing down. They played each other twice at the end of the season when Lindley was the fucking quarterback. Palmer's back. And I think the Cardinals are the one team in the NFL, except, you know, maybe New England, but one team in the NFL where you look at the individual parts and it doesn't look like anything special, but it's something special. And I think that starts at the top. I think Bruce Arians is the best coach in the NFL. And I mean, that includes Bill Belichick. I think Arians is the best coach in the NFL. Wow. If Palmer can stay upright, which is not a sure thing, if Palmer can stay upright, they're going to win this division. They are absolutely going to win this division. Wow. I think the Seahawks are going to be good, but I think there's going to be a little bit of a hangover there. I think Russell Wilson is a little – I don't want to know if it's Hollywood or got a little full of himself in the offseason. I mean, you know, he's coming out with a lot of stuff about his personal life.
Right.
And – you know, not that it's good or bad, but stuff that, you know, he was kind of oversharing, you know, stuff we don't need to know.
True.
and, you know, I think that play, that one fateful play call is going to haunt them. Lynch is already like, what, he make a commercial or something making fun of it?
I know.
Everybody thinks Carroll's an idiot. And I think they're going to be good, but I think there's going to be just enough of a hangover there that I'm going to pick the Cardinals to win the division again.
Wow. I can't do it. I still think Seattle's the best team.
I have to agree. Although I think Arizona's going to be in second place, and I believe they'll take a wild card, but...
Yeah. Now the Rams are gonna need to are gonna be a little better. Foles has to kind of adapt. And the 49ers.
The Rams have a really, really good defense.
Yeah.
They're like Buffalo, similar in defensively. I mean, really, really good defense. And you know, offensively, it looks like a bit of a train wreck. I mean, they're kind of relying on guys. You know, like Gurley, who knows when he's going to come back, you know what I'm saying? Week 4 to 6. Okay. I mean, and then Trey Mason's hurt. So they're going to be playing. They're playing Seattle week 1 and they're going to have Benny Cunningham as their
tailbacks.
And then their number one receiver is Brian Quick, who was good last year, but again, he's coming off a real bad injury. So, and I feel like Foles was maybe a bit of a product of the Chip Kelly system and might not fare that well.
Case Keenum is his backup. That's one of those. He was a guy from University of Houston. He was one of those 5,000 yard passer guys, and you know, 50 touchdowns, kind of like Andre Ware. But their defense is going to be very good. And the 49ers are just going to be a disaster. Three years ago, they were in the Super Bowl. And boy, they fall off the face of the earth fast.
Well, I mean, they've had that the offseason that they have had has been the most disastrous. I mean, it's almost like a joke. I mean, they've had how many guys under 30 retire? You know, I mean,
yeah. And guys get arrested.
And then every other week. So, you know, I mean, Patrick Willis retired. The guy's name escapes me. The linebacker who led the team in tackles last year because Navarro Bowman was hurt. He retired after one season.
Because of concussions, yeah.
Anthony Davis, the offensive lineman, retired at 30. Alden Smith's done, obviously, because of all the off-the-field
stuff. Yeah, he's going to prison.
It's, you know, I don't know. Do you guys feel like they're, you know, Harbaugh's gone? Do you guys feel like, I mean... Like there could be some of that magic there, that you know, they got rid of all some cancers. No, I mean, they really have the nobody believes in us thing going for them. I mean, kind of, you know, Scott, you know, the Cowboys had this last year. Everybody always, you know, going before the season, before last year, a lot, everybody looked at the Cowboys and said, up, the Cowboys, they're going to go 10-6. And they would always go 8-8, right? Last year, everybody thought they, you know, their defense is going to be the worst in the history of the NFL. They're going to go 5-11. And what happened, right? It's, I'm not ballsy enough to predict it, but I think that there is a possibility that Kaepernick really steps up, and they do have some young offensive weapons, and that defense is still good with Navarro Bowman coming back, Justin Smith retired as well, that they could, I think they're a better team than people are giving them credit for, and I think that they're going to have this us against the world mentality, and I think they all fucking hated Harbaugh, like, personally.
I think
and
they did, too.
I think they're going to want to stick it to him. So don't be surprised if they make a little run. You heard it here first on Sports Evolution.
All right. I still think they're going to finish. They may finish third. I think the Rams are going to finish last. I like Seattle, Arizona, San Francisco, and St. Louis. What do you think, Dr. G?
You know what? I'm definitely going to go with Seattle. I'm going to go with Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say St. Louis and then San Francisco.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you would jump on our bandwagon again. All right.
Arizona, Seattle, San Francisco, St. Louis.
I think now, are we all comfortable that both the Seahawks and Cardinals make the playoffs?
Yes, I am. Anyway.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
I think so too.
And I wouldn't be surprised if San Francisco was the second wild card.
What? Now you're smoking something.
You heard it here first, man.
Put the Gansett Del Shandy down, okay?
It's easy. You know what, guys? It's easy to pick the exact same thing that happened.
That is true.
Last year. Right, it's the NFL. There's going to be a team that comes from nowhere. They're just as well built for it as some other teams. So.
Good point. All right, let's go to the NFC South. That division sucks. You know what, that division's just as bad as the AFC South. Carolina is going to be very good again. They'll probably win the division. New Orleans seems to be finally, but it seems like the Saints are finally getting through that 2009 run. And now they're kind of recreating themselves a little bit. Tampa Bay is going to be horrendous. And Chad Campbell's Falcons, they might be okay. I could see them contending for a wild card, but I think this is Cam Newton's team. This is Cam Newton's division. I think Carolina's going to win the division. I'd like to see how much he learned from the loss to Seattle in the divisional playoffs last year. I don't know how much he learned, but I like Carolina.
He learned that.
You broke up there. He learned what? How to get beat up?
Say he learned how to win a division going under 500. That's always.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Like the Rams did a few years ago.
This was the worst division in the history of the NFL last year, right? Didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think this was worse. What was Carolina's record? Were they 6-9-1?
They were 6-9-1 in the division.
I think it was.
Or 7-1, something like that. Yeah. It was pretty bad. It's going to be bad again.
Yeah.
But Carolina probably is the best of the worst. I think New Orleans. New Orleans is a team in transition, and I like Lovie Smith, but Tampa's going to be terrible. I mean, I don't know what kind of numbers Jameis Winston's going to put up. He might be one of these guys that chucks for like 4,000 yards. You know, he'll probably be like Vinny Testaverde's rookie year when he had like 31 touchdowns and 39 interceptions or some crazy shit.
Their defense is really, really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, really, they're going to be in a bunch of shootouts. He could put up good numbers.
Yeah.
But their defense sucks. I mean, yeah, their defense really, is might pretty be bad. The worst defense in the NFL.
It's pretty,
the other three teams, I mean, to me, you can just put them in a hat. You can put the other three teams in a hat and just kind of pick one. I mean, any one of them could win it.
True. I'm going to say Carolina. I think Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay.
I agree
with you. I like I'm going to take the Falcons. Atlanta. Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina, Tampa Bay. The fact Kelvin Benjamin's injury for the season, I think, really, really hurts the Panthers in a big, in a big way. They don't. Cam doesn't have anybody to throw to.
True.
And those, you know, say what you want about the Falcons and the Saints, but they definitely have offenses. And I just see the Panthers having trouble scoring with them when they play each other.
You know, I've been a big Matt Ryan fan since he came in the league, and I know he's had some issues the last couple years, but I mean. Carolina's problem is probably their lack of real talent at the skill positions besides Cam. I mean, Jonathan Stewart, you know, is going to be the starter tailback. You got Fozzie Whitaker. But then, you know, receivers, Ted Ginn Jr., really? I mean,
yeah, I mean they're starting Philly Brown.
Yeah.
And Ginn are their starting receivers. Funchess, the guy they picked in the second round.
Yeah. Right? The kid from Michigan. He might be all right. So.
He could emerge just because there's no one else to throw to. And Greg Olsen's a really good. And Greg Olsen will probably catch 100 passes this year.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, he had a good year last year.
So, Carol, so you like Atlanta to win the division? No wild cards here?
Definitely not.
Okay. All right. NFC North. Obviously, the team to beat is the Packers. I'll say it now. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP. After that, it's a little interesting. Chicago. This might be Cutler's last stand. As quarterback of the Bears.
I like what you did right there.
You like that?
Yes.
Cutler's last stand. I should make a t-shirt. Detroit's one of those teams that, like, you want to love, you want to jump on the bandwagon, and then they, you know, well, everyone will say they got screwed against the Cowboys, but whatever. And then, yeah, the same way the following week, so. And Minnesota might be rejuvenated. I mean, they got a new building next year, so you know they may kind of rejuvenate themselves. But I have to say, I think the Packers could go like 14-2, even without Jordan. I don't know.
Oof! I picked them to go 14-2 last year.
Did they?
I predicted that.
They'd
not go 14-2.
Eddie Lacy's a great tailback. The key is Devontae Adams because he obviously is going to take the spot of Jordy Nelson. So it's going to be interesting to see.
I think he'll be fine. The rest of the division, I mean, the Bears are going to be terrible, really, again, because their defense is just...
Yeah, they're a sieve. Yeah. So I say Green Bay.
Pretty good. Bridgewater in his second year. He made some strides last year. Plus, sorry.
No, go ahead.
More technical difficulties here, folks. We're on a, you know, I think we're experiencing a 25-second delay or something. So I'll just pick what I'm going to do in the division. So we'll say Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit and Chicago, with Green Bay and Minnesota making the playoffs.
Wow. The Vikings, huh? I like Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago. And I think just Green Bay makes the playoffs. Doctor?
Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago, and just Green Bay making the playoffs.
Okay. Now, NFC East.
Here we are.
Here we are. First of all, the Redskins are going to be awful, so we can just say that off the bat. And I don't know what the hell the deal with the Eagles is. I thought getting rid of McCoy was a mistake. But, hey, Buffalo's gain. I don't know what the hell Chip Kelly's doing, but... I think it's a two-team division again. And I have to say, and I always feel like I defend the New York Football Giants when my partner here likes to slam them into the ground. They have talent at all the skill positions. I like your tailbacks. Obviously, this is for the first time the Giants are going to have Beckham and Cruz on the same line of scrimmage.
Cruz hasn't played yet, so
Cruz is probably out until week 4 or 5.
Yeah, so he may miss the first month, but
I think Randall will do a good job.
Honestly, George, Randall might be better than Cruz, just straight up at this point.
Wow,
Cruz wasn't having a very good year last year before he got hurt. I mean, I think he led the NFL and dropped passes at the time he got hurt.
I've always thought he dropped a lot of passes. I like Reuben Randall too. I think I think Eric Flowers was a great pick though. You guys needed to shore up that offensive line. It got a little. I don't know. I don't think.
I'm still the offensive line's still a little skeptical for me, but we'll see. I mean, if they could be halfway decent, and you know, I think the key to the Giants, you got to mix in the running game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be successful, and it also comes down to the defense. This year, I mean, they can't be giving up the amount of points that they gave up at the beginning of last year.
So, George, you guys brought in a, you know, a guy who's going to bring that winning culture to the locker room, running back Shane Vereen.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's funny. They were just there was an interview with him one of the local stations the other night, and they asked him that, you know, and he said he was excited here, and you know, he wants to. You know, where he wants to bring in that winning attitude. So we'll see. Hey, we'll take anything at this point.
Did you know, Dr. G, that Dominique Rogers-Cromartie gave his number 21 to rookie Landon Collins because Collins wanted to wear the number of his idol Sean Taylor. So Rogers-Cromartie will now wear 41.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just read that a minute ago. Do you think all this Eli contract stuff's going to be a big deal? I don't think so.
I think they'll work something out.
I mean, he's going to stay a Giant. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't see him going anywhere.
I mean, I think Eli will have a good year. I think he really adapted to the system last year, the new system, and I think he did a good job after the first, you know, handful of games.
Mm.
As much as I hate to admit it, I think Dallas is going to win the division. I think they're just a little bit better than the Giants. And I'm going to go because it's my team. A lot of times I'll pick against them, but the Giants are going to be my second wild card team.
I think they are too. That's exactly what I think too. The Cowboys have talent all around them. They have a good quarterback.
Except on defense.
Well... Their defense is be
terrible.
No, their defense is not going to be terrible.
I think they're in big trouble. I predicted them to win the division last year. I think their defense is going to be awful. I think they did it with smoke and mirrors. I think they're going to really miss McClain, and we'll see.
I don't think so. I think their defense is actually going to be pretty good. I like Mincy. I like Crawford. I think. I mean, McClain and Hitchens. Obviously, Sean Lee is back if he could stay healthy. Skandrick's gone. That's going to be an issue. He got hurt. Barry Church sometimes can cover. Sometimes he gets burned. But I think they'll hold.
I think you're going to see a shootout in the first game with Giants.
Oh, definitely, George. That's the issue. Giants' offense is good. I mean, the Giants will put up points on anybody. Their defense needs to show up. For them to realize that.
Well, that's what I said. They can't have the defense play the way they played in the beginning of last year. If that's the case, then they're in a lot of trouble. But if they can play halfway decent, you know, just a little bit better, you know, then like you said, that their offense could put up against anybody, then then they have a good shot.
Do you think that Scott? I mean, I'm objective here. This is I'm not trolling you, but do you think that the thing that scares me about the Cowboys is, you know, they kind of had the taste of success, right? So they lost some of that. Nobody believes in us. Now everybody believes in them. Losing Murray and not really replacing him, I think, hurts. I mean, they're going to play three guys or four guys at running back. I think that, you know, they have the best offensive line in football. There's no question about that. And they'll put up points. But do you think that committee can do, I mean, can, because that's how they beat teams last year, right? As I remember, they beat, who was undefeated? Was it Seattle? And they just ran the ball down their freaking throats.
Yeah, it was the Seahawks. Did the same thing with the Colts, too.
Yeah, and do you think they're going to be able to maintain that identity with Joe Randall and McFadden and maybe Christian Michael? Or I feel like the losing Scandrick and then Murray, especially Murray going to the Eagles.
I know.
I feel the 8-8 coming. I really do, and I hate to say it.
But. Nah, I think they're going to go. I think they're going to go like 12-4. I do. I think they're going to score a lot of points. I think they're going to make big plays late. And, you know, Darren McFadden's a guy who never really got holes to run through. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the years he was in Oakland, the Raider offensive line was absolutely abysmal. I've seen Joseph Randall and Lance Dunbar grow over the last couple years. They can catch passes out of the backfield. And they have Michael now. So, yeah, I'm crossing my fingers that the defense isn't too bad. But I don't think they will be. If Sean Lee stays healthy, I think the middle of that defense will be pretty good. I'm a little – now that's – with Scandrick out, I think the secondary scares me a little bit. I think they may get torched a few times. But they're going to put up a boatload of points. So if they have to win shootouts, they win shootouts. But I think they're good enough to win. First of all, I think that the – Eagles and Redskins, that's four wins in the division right there. Maybe they split with the Giants. Maybe they sweep the Giants. Who knows? Or maybe they get swept by the Giants. That I don't think so. I think they at least split. And so, what's that?
You're really down on the Eagles, huh?
I am. I don't know what the deal is. I mean, I feel like they chop that team around. Sam Bradford? He was no worse than Nick Foles was. No better, really, either.
No, I mean, they won with Sanchez.
Yeah, that's a sad part.
He's probably better than Sanchez. I think what they did, you know, I think replacing McCoy with DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews, I mean, that's an upgrade. The two guys are better than one McCoy. McCoy had a shitty year last year anyway. They drafted Nelson Aguilar to pair with Jordan Matthews. They lost Macklin, but I think those guys are good. And then, I mean, you know, the problem with the Eagles, they got torched through the air, and they grabbed two guys from the Seahawks. They got Byron Maxwell and Walter Thurmond in their secondary now. I think the Eagles are my Super Bowl pick out of the
NFC. What?
Absolutely.
You're on drugs. You are absolutely on drugs. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't know if I can continue having this conversation. I really don't. What the hell's in those cigars you're smoking? You are crazy. You're absolutely.
Wow. Are you on crack tonight?
Wow.
What? I mean, what was the record? I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's, I don't think it's that outlandish of a pick.
I mean, I could see the maybe.
I mean, if you said playoffs, I'd argue.
Yeah, I could see maybe stealing a wild card, maybe going a game in, but winning going to the Super Bowl? Yeeks. I can't see Sam Bradford leading a team to a Super Bowl.
That's why they play the games.
That is. So the Bucks could beat them, too.
Yeah, but the thing about Chip Kelly's offense is that it's not really a passing offense. If you look at they run more than anybody in the NFL. And now they have two of the 12 best running backs in the league. In the backfield there. I mean, I think they're going to run. They're going to blow holes through people and... You know, both those guys are going to rush for 1,000 yards, and I think the defense is going to be better. Defense very opportunistic last year, but we'll see. You know, again, it's the NFL, so that some surprising things happen. So that's my surprising things.
Okay. So I like Dallas the Giants, Philadelphia, and Washington, and I like the Giants to get the other wild card pick with Arizona.
Wow, we actually agree.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Philly, the Cowboys, the Giants, and Washington, with Philly being the only team that makes the playoffs.
Okay. All right, around the horn. We're not going to go through the whole playoff brackets. We don't know if the internet may collapse throughout the whole world if we can.
No, we can just do. You can just do Super Bowl and Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
I think that's
Super Bowl 50. The 50th. Senior took Cowboys, Patriots, with the Patriots winning. Cowboy, I'll give you the floor first. Super Bowl 50.
Sure, I'll go with my dad will kill me for this, but I think Peyton's got one more run in him.
Wow, okay.
So I'm going to take Denver and Philadelphia with Denver winning.
Okay.
Wow.
Doctor?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think I made this pick last year. I think I'm going to go Patriots-Green Bay, and I think that Green Bay is actually going to beat them.
Wow, you're taking my Super Bowl too. I like Patriots-Packers, and I like the Packers to win.
So I didn't get to talk about the Patriots, but the thing my dad didn't mention, and kind of the common denominator for the Patriots, like not making the Super Bowl or losing in the Super Bowl, was their inability to stop the pass before last year. And so they won the Super Bowl, and then they immediately just let their whole defensive backfield go. So I think they're going to have a lot of trouble coming out of the AFC with high-octane passing offenses like the Colts and the Broncos. I don't think they're going to be able, you know, made a great play in the Super Bowl. But he's their number one cornerback. I mean, he was number five on the depth chart. He's literally their number one cornerback right now. And, you know, maybe he's really good, but he's not Darrelle Revis. He's not Brandon Browner. And I think another typical, a little bit before last year, the typical Patriots season was great regular season record, and then eventually losing to someone because they can't stop passes in the playoffs or the Super Bowl. So I think that's what's going to happen again.
Your starting backfield would be Malcolm Butler, Patrick Chung, Devin McCourty, and Bradley Fletcher.
Yeah, I think Terrell Brown is actually going to start over Bradley Fletcher, but that's not exactly the Legion of Boom. Chung is terrible. I mean, you guys, I'm sure, watched a lot of Chung when he was on the Eagles. I mean, he doesn't belong starting in the NFL.
No,
McCourty is really, really good, and that's the positive I can say about the Patriots secondary.
Okay. What do you think of the linebackers? Mayo, Collins?
Very good. Very good. Teams aren't going to really be able to run on the Pats, and they're not going to have to. Seriously. Why? I mean, it's going to be like Baltimore last year was very similar in that their defensive backfield got hurt. That's why the Patriots were able to come back on them. Their fourth and fifth string corners out there trying to cover people. You couldn't run on Baltimore at all. The Jets were the same. You couldn't run on them at all, but you could throw all over them. And it's the NFL now with all these rules, right, set up in such a way to make passing and make passing easier, make receiving easier and more points. It's not a recipe for success to be completely incapable of defending the pass and like having a really good run defense. So we'll see. I mean, I could be wrong. I had some bad things to say about the Pats last year too, and they proved me wrong. So. Mm.
Yeah, and you'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah. So there
it'll
you
be
go.
A fun football season, guys. It
yes,
really
absolutely.
Is.
And week one begins Thursday night from Foxborough. And the defending world champion New England Patriots host the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sunday, your matchups, Green Bay at Chicago, Kansas City at Houston, Cleveland at the New York Jets, Indianapolis at Buffalo, Miami at Washington. And, of course, all season the NFL is going to highlight the Super Bowl rematches from the past 49 years. One this weekend will be Miami at Washington. Of course, they met twice and they split. Carolina at Jacksonville. Seattle at St. Louis, New Orleans at Arizona, Detroit at San Diego, Tennessee at Tampa Bay, Cincinnati at Oakland, Baltimore-Denver, probably the highlight game of the late games. Of course, Doctor, you and I, for like what seems like the 40th year in a row, open our season on Sunday night against each other, as the Giants and Cowboys will play down at Jerry's house.
I'll be in the house, guys. You know that?
You did. You told me that.
Yep.
Look at that.
Be in the house.
So. That's awesome. Enjoy the game.
I will.
And
that's cool.
And then, God, this Monday night doubleheader sucks. Philadelphia at Atlanta, which, all right, I'll throw a bone. It might not be a bad game.
That game's going to be like 40-39.
Yeah.
I mean, that should at least be a fun game.
Yeah. And then the night game, Minnesota at San Francisco. Ugh.
I know. They, you know, and it's for people on the East Coast, that's the game that you have to stay up and watch until freaking 1 in the morning. You know? Like, it's last year, I think I remember Terrell Pryor. So it may,
Well, it used to always be a Raider. In fact, I'll tell you what last year's.
Oakland to Diego, I think. Houston was in it last year because I remember Randy Bullock. Or maybe that was the year before. I don't know.
Last year's two Monday night games, the Giants went into Detroit and got creamed. And then Arizona beat San Diego by a point.
Oh, that wasn't a bad game. The year before, it was Houston and San Diego, I believe. And San Diego jumped out to a lead, and then Houston came back and won at the end. But, yeah, that's going to be a tough one to stay up for.
Well, that was
I love football, baby.
So and I'll never forget week one last year. You guys lost to the Dolphins.
Yep.
And then Dallas got murdered by they got beat up by the 49ers. That's when everybody thought that was the Cowboys season we were all going to look forward to.
Romo had those turnovers right at the beginning. They were down 21-3 within.
Yeah, he threw like two picks and they were ugly. They were typical ugly.
Yeah, but he was still hurt. He was playing hurt.
So. Yeah, so very different. Were you saying 2013? It must have been 2013.
Houston, CEO. I remember it clear as day. Randy Bullock kicked a 40-something yard field goal to win the game.
Yep, 31-28. That was the late game. By the way.
47 yards. Can you check that? I don't have it in front of me. See how
who's that?
Is it 47 yards, the field goal to win the game?
Let me see. 8 years ago, Dr. G, we played on Sunday night in Dallas. We won 36-31. That was the game that Eli threw for 450 yards. I don't know if you remember that. The Cowboy defense was literally ridiculously terrible. They gave up like 10,000 yards of offense. Do I have a... Oh, do I do have the... So, we hope you enjoyed our premiere episode of Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution. We apologize for some of the wrinkles in the technical aspects of the show, but we'll work them out. Bullock, 41-yard field goal for Bullock in that game.
Yeah, that's close. So I'm going to take Andrew Luck as my MVP, and also we'll take Amari Cooper as Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Who's your MVP, Dr. G?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
And Cooper also is.
I like Cooper for Rookie of the Year too, because I think Derek Carr is going to have a good year statistically. I don't know how good the Raiders will be, but
they're going to be losing a lot, behind a lot, so you have to throw, right?
Exactly.
So we'll be here every week during the football season on Place to Be Nation Sports Evolution, hopefully with getting out of the Pony Express, and we'll have various guys here. Cowboy, let us know when we will have our Evolution premiere with Rob Carpenter, and we'll talk NFL. Of course, we'll talk other sports. NFL, the Major League postseason will be around the corner very soon as pennant races continue this September. Of course, we'll talk preseason. We'll talk, and we're gonna make. I'm gonna make Senior love the Bruins again. It's my goal, Cowboy.
All right.
Gonna make him worship the hub.
I got a pretty full sports plate, you know. That's
I know. Well, the league. I know. I'm not gonna worry about the Lakers because I think they're gonna be horrendous, but they'll be a little better than last year. But I think it's just gonna be in.
You got Randall back. You got Kobe.
They made some
Russell.
Yeah, they've made some slight roster additions. They may not be too terrible, but and of course college hoops and college football started on Monday. This past weekend was the first Notre Dame with a big win over Texas. Our alma mater, Dr. G, got throttled. UNH got crushed by Slippery Rock, 39-13. But Ohio State won big Monday night over Virginia Tech. So
see Braxton Miller. Did you see those plays he made as the H-back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
Ohio State's pretty filthy.
I mean, they were already filthy, and I mean, nobody was talking about him making this huge impact as a
freaking running back receiver.
I know.
I mean, that spin move was completely out of control. So
yeah, it was bonkers.
A lot of fun to watch.
I don't know who can touch them. I don't know, real seriously. No, maybe Michigan State. Maybe. I don't think anybody's going to tell. They're going to clearly cruise as to the number one seed in the 14 playoff. Now will what happened to them happened for Ohio State last year when they beat Alabama? I don't know. We'll be back next week. We'll recap week one, get you ready for week two. We'll talk some Major League Baseball and have more fun, and hopefully fix the foobars going on in our studio. Plenty of cigars, plenty of scotch, and crappy connections. For the doctor and for both Cowboys, I'm Scott. The show has not passed you by. Hop on the train with us. Place B Nation Sports Evolution. Have a good week.
See you.